Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Starship and Super Heavy, success. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, following the Starship story from the beginning. The first test in the Kwajalein group in the Marshall Islands to the demonstration in Boca Chica of something that had never happened before. Never. Never in all the history of space race, not in all the history of the solar system. They caught a falling arrow. Bob, a very good evening to you. I won't ask how they did it. It's just flabbergasting. Did you expect it on the first try, Bob? Good evening to you.
No one did. No one at SpaceX. I can tell you from you watching their own employees watch, you know, they showed footage of this Starship Super Heavy launch that occurred this weekend, the fifth test launch, and this is going to be the first time they're going to attempt to catch the Super Heavy first stage at the launch tower using the chopsticks. But nobody expected the first attempt to succeed, and you can tell when you watch the video, you see the reaction of SpaceX's own employees when they successfully caught that Super Heavy stage with the launch tower chopsticks. The utter disbelief in their eyes. Nobody expected anyone to accomplish this on the very first attempt, because it must be remembered, this is totally unprecedented. There's never been attempted anything like this before. Nothing like this. When SpaceX was trying to do Falcon 9 launches, return the first stage vertically with rockets back in the teens, they had never done it on an orbital class rocket before, but we've done many vertical rocket landings both on the moon and on Earth in tests that had happened many times. So it wasn't unprecedented. So it wasn't completely unexpected that SpaceX could succeed. And they didn't succeed on the first try, by the way. They had to do their grasshopper tests. And even then, when they started with the orbital test, the first few landings failed, even though they hit the target. In this case, no one expected it, but this is what happened. Starship Heavy took off about 25 minutes late because there were some boats in the launch range they had to clear out. The launch was 100% successful, as far as I can tell. You know, it's an engineering test, so if anything fails, it's not a failure, but you'll gain data to figure out what to fix. But this launch went remarkably successfully. First, Starship, let's just do that, get that out of the way. Starship completed its mission. It landed on a soft splashdown in the Indian Ocean at its target, because there were drones there videotaping it as it hit the water in the dark. And I don't mean hit the water, touch down on the water. The only negative that could be seen visually during the Starship flight was that during the descent there was some burn through on one of the flaps. Nothing as bad as in the previous launch, which, by the way, didn't prevent the flap from working. But in this case, much less so, and which is why the spacecraft was able to come down at its target point. So they still have some cleanup on the thermal ton system, but it looks like remarkably little to get that fixed. But then we have Super Heavy. Super Heavy launched, it separated, it released its interstage, which dumped in the Gulf of Mexico, and then it came back to the launch tower, and it landed. And I've got video on Behind the Black. You can watch it. It is a remarkable thing to see, because it's never been done before, and they did it, and they did it on the first fly. And as Elon Musk said later, they've already inspected the Super Heavy stage, and it looks remarkably good condition. They're not going to reuse that stage, but it sets them up for their plan that they will be able to launch Super Heavy boosters 1 hour after launch. That they bring it back to the tower, the tower lowers it into position, they stack a new Starship on top, and it goes. That's the goal, and this demonstrates that they have the possibility of actually doing that. It's not ridiculous. I should point out that this particular launch was the 97th of SpaceX's of the year. which broke its own record from the previous year for number of launches in a single flight. They, in the last 2 days, they've launched twice more, so three times more. So they now have 100 launches in the year, and that's more than any nation in the world has ever accomplished, any nation, entire nation. Russia did 100 one year, but that was back in 82. So SpaceX is demonstrating how private enterprise can do things. There's no limit to what private enterprise can do.
We go from the Gulf Coast to the California coast, and a surprising response. Musk is having fun. You will recall, Bob reported in these last days, the California Coastal Commission has at least two members who have unusual opinions of Mr. Musk. What's happened, Bob?
Yes, Matt, last week the Coastal Commission, the Space Force, which runs Vandenberg's Air Force Base, Space Force Base, had put in a request from the Coastal Commission to approve a significant increase in the number of launches it would allow out of Vandenberg. The Space Force is not required to follow the Coastal Commission requirements. It's a military base. They can do what they want, but they like to cooperate with the Coastal Commission, which is supposed to be regulating use of the coast for all users, from beachgoers to rocket companies. But those two commissioners in the vote made it clear that they were going to vote against this proposal, because not because it was going to hurt the coast, but that they just don't like Elon Musk's tweets and his politics. He's daring to support a Republican candidate for president, so that's absolutely disqualifies his company from having rocket launches. The logic is, of course, ridiculous. It's a violation of his First Amendment rights, and they're not doing their job. So the commission voted against it. SpaceX has not, I'm sorry, not SpaceX, but Musk said immediately in a tweet that he's going to sue. He said he was going to sue as soon as the court opened this week. They're going to file papers instantly. Now, I haven't heard yet about that, but I'm sure it's going to happen. And he says filing suit against them on this week for violating the First Amendment. It's totally inappropriate what these commissioners did. It's correct to sue them. And they should be personally liable before violating his First Amendment rights and violating the company's and the Space Force's rights for the inappropriate reasons.
What is VAST?
Yes, we reported this last week too. VAST is a private spaceship company. It's one of four in the United States. The other three are consortiums. The other three are getting money from NASA to build their station. VAST has gotten no government money at all. It plans to launch its first Haven 1 space module, single module, next year, and immediately fly astronauts. I'm sorry, in 26, and immediately fly four astronauts to a 30-day mission to it. Well, this week it unveiled its proposed full station concept. This is Haven 2. And Haven 2 would be multiple modules. It would start out as four modules in a straight line, and then they'd add four more to create a large cross in space, essentially, with a central hub. And they are releasing this design concept because they intend to bid on the second phase of NASA's space station program. The initial contract awards to those three other space station companies were design awards, preliminary phase one. NASA is going to review those plans as well as anyone else who wants to bid, and then award bigger contracts to follow. And VAST intends to bid on those additional contracts. It is still, in my mind, going to be probably the first private space station to launch with its Haven 1 station, John. The concept is good. They even have the possibility of spinning this space and to create some artificial gravity, which would be really good for science research.
Very I'm looking at the photographs that you provide, Bob. The living chambers, which are they? Can you identify them?
That's too vague. We don't really know at this point, and they haven't given us that much information. This is the fundamental basic design concept, and the idea is to use the same module over and over again, so you can do assembly line. You don't have to redesign a lot. You try to make each one the same. And the way it works on ISS is that often a crew, each crew member will pick a module and make that their bedroom, because if they don't have good quarters. And so it's possible what will happen here is the same thing.
All right. Boom. What is boom?
Boom is a private supersonic jet company. It's been around for about, almost a decade. They, back in the late teens, were pushing to build a supersonic private new jet called Aurora. Called Overture, which they intended to fly by 21, 22, and there's long delay in this. But they have gotten contracts from several major airline companies to buy this plane, including United Airlines and Japan Airlines. Finally, about a few months ago, they revealed their small-scale, one-third prototype supersonic plane for testing purposes, and it's manned. And they've now begun manned test flights of this prototype, slowly each flight building the speed up so that eventually, and five more flights later this year, they will break the sound barrier with this test vehicle. And the reason they're doing these test flights with a smaller version is to just test the design and the aerodynamics and prepare for the full-size ship to come later. They are moving forward. They're doing test flights with a person on board, a pilot, and hopefully before the end of the year, they will have broken the speed limit, John.
Mitsubishi, a Japanese conglomerate giant, has a rocket that's for sale, and it's been purchased by, is this UAE? Yes, UAE, the Space Arabs.
Yes, what's significant about this is Mitsubishi developed a new rocket called the H-3 rocket for Japan's space agency, JAXA. In the past, JAXA would manage and control that rocket and be the one you'd have to deal with if you wished to rent it or buy it for the use of a launch. But now Japan's trying to go to the capitalism model. And so Mitsubishi directly signed a contract with the United Arab Emirates to launch its first unmanned probe to the asteroid belt. And Mitsubishi is going to use the H-3 rocket to do so. And what this indicates is that Japan's effort to adopt the capitalism model, whereby JAXA is no longer the operator but the a customer, it does appear that nation is moving in that direction now because of this contract. And it's a very good sign. It's a very good sign, John.
D-Orbit, what is that, Bob?
D-Orbit is a European company that is an orbital tug company. And they have now won a contract from the European Space Agency, something like $100+ million, to complete Europe's first robotic service mission in geosynchronous orbit. Northrop Grumman has already done this twice for a variety of satellite companies using its mission extension vehicle. But now Europe wants to get in the game, and they've awarded D-Orbit the contract to do a test flight to prepare for doing exactly this. They would fly it. It would test the ability to maneuver and dock and release a geosynchronous satellite. That would lay the groundwork for doing later missions where it can attach to a geosynchronous satellite and extend its life by providing fuel and operational capabilities. And they're aiming for a 28 launch. As usual, Europe's coming to this later because of its bureaucracy, but they're at least going to it. And they're indicating, once again, they're shifting to capitalism by hiring private companies to do these things.
NATO with a space strategy. Do they have one now?
They basically copy whatever the United States military's strategy is, and they've announced they're going to do this. And really, the problem they've got is the shift to capitalism. The Pentagon has been reluctantly shifting to a capitalism model similar to what NASA has done, whereby they no longer build and design and own and operate everything. They instead hire private companies to do it for them. And so that's what Pentagon's doing. And so NATO is now looking into this, and they realize they can't do things the way they have for the last century, and they've got to somehow address this issue. We don't know what that space strategy will be, but they're going to issue one, and hopefully it'll recognize these changes.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. You bet. We're headed to Europa, maybe.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.